Hi, and welcome to Air Graphics Podcast. My name is Ralph Kelly, the owner of Air Graphics, airbrushing and caricature.
This week we have John Magoo Valdez of Active Airbrush from Los Angeles, California. This podcast is sponsored by the Emerging Artist Showcase. They're having an art show in Atlanta, February 25th.
You sound good, man. Yeah, shit. It only takes 51 minutes.
We got it.
I called it the day, so I said, man, I'm in my day and just shower up and then chop it up with Cali, you know, so it's a good thing.
Yeah, we on. Yeah, I got a refreshed drink, so I'm good.
Awesome. That's what you needed.
Yeah.
I'm here, though, man. What's good? Ralph, it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute, bro. Hey, all right, so here we go. Where are you from?
Born and raised from Los Angeles, California.
Los Angeles. All right, any social medias or social networks you want to promote?
Yeah, let's go ahead and I'll shoot you my Instagram, which is Active Airbrush, which is Active Airbrush, ACTIVE, Active Airbrush. And that's my Instagram. And then my webpage is ActiveAirbrushENT.com.
Yeah, somebody said that he went to your website and checked it out. So, got the picture of Jay-Z on there.
Yeah, man. I get to work with all the cool people out here in Los Angeles on the West Coast.
Yeah. So, how long have you been airbrushing?
I've been airbrushing since 1999. That's when I started making money with it.
Cool. Yeah, like I was saying earlier about that, it's a good thing if something, a craft that you like to do, and you get to make money from it.
Yeah, for sure. 23 years later, here I am, and I say 100% yes.
Yeah.
You know, I no regrets, you know what I'm saying? I'm glad I fell off for a couple of years and went back into the worst workforce. And then I said, man, screw this. And I came back to the airbrush and took off from there, you know?
Yeah.
Never looked back again.
Yeah, because you got a different niche about yours, but we'll get to it about the parties and whatnot, how you switched it to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you find out about airbrushing?
Airbrushing, I found out in high school. What happened was I had an aunt, she was like 2 years older than me, and we were pretty close, and she was in high school, I was in junior high school, but she always used to come home with these calligraphy styles, little signs for her bedroom, and they were airbrushed. And I was like, every time she come home from high school, she would bring a sign because she had that as an elective class in high school. So I was like, man, I couldn't wait to go to high school so I could, you know, join that class. And that's the first thing I did when I went to high school. I looked for that class and I joined it as an elective. And teacher there, name was Mr. Nakamatsu.
Nakamatsu.
And he was a great guy. Yeah, he was a great guy. And, man, that was probably one of the only classes I really went to in high school.
Yeah.
You know, and I would look forward for that class every day because we would not just do airbrushing, we would do calligraphy. He would show us how to write, you know, handwriting and old English letters, you know, with the pens and cut the marker tips and make them chisels so we could do old English letters. He showed us a bunch of stuff. And on top of that, you know, with the airbrush as well, you know, we do some effects. But it was cool. It was a cool classroom.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the one who taught you how to airbrush? It was like airbrush in his class?
He introduced me to it.
Yeah.
But it was just a class, you know, an hour class. And I learned what I could in there. But I wasn't thinking about ever doing it as a career. I just, you know, I was a young artist starting from age, I can remember age 5, 6, where, you know, I was just writing all over everything, drawing all over everything. And my mom was an artist. So, you know, back in the 70s, you know, we didn't really have too many, you know, we had no internet, no nothing. And that was the thing, you know, coloring books, drawing, you know what I'm saying, just drawing and doodling, you know what I mean, drawing whatever we can see. Whatever. I would like to draw cars when I was a kid. You know, I was into, like, cars and stuff, and I would always draw cars. and I would stay hours. I would get punished, and I would take my, I would stay in my bedroom and draw all day long. I didn't care, you know?
Yeah.
I had my marker, my pen. I would stay there. My dad started figuring it out at the end, like, man, we punishing this kid. He liked getting punished, you know? And then he figured it out, and he started taking my markers and pens from me, and I was just, you know, it drove me crazy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, but that's cool, though. And you get to hone your craft right there.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So, what kind of airbrush did you learn on?
My first airbrush, I don't remember the ones in high school. You know, I was 15 years old, and I don't remember. I was just happy to be in that classroom, I remember. And at the same time, I was young and not really caring about, you know, nothing. So I would get a little bit in trouble. So classes were, you know, maybe once or twice a week, maybe three times a week. But I can't remember what type of airbrush it was. So then when I got older, I picked up my first airbrush was a Badger. That was in 1999. I picked up a Badger from Coast Airbrush here in Anaheim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that the Coast is over there, huh? Yeah, it's a, but yeah, a lot of people were interviewed already said they started out with like the bigger Apaches or the Vega 2000s or the Omnis. But yeah, that's probably what the, yeah. So So did you start a shop or did you work for somebody else in the beginning?
I worked for someone else. What happened was I was born and raised in South LA, and then in 1998, I met my wife, Mona, and she was from the Valley. She moved out to Los Angeles with me, you know, in our first beginning of our relationship, and she didn't like it, you know what I'm saying? I was still hanging out and still, you know, just being young and, you know, dumb. And so she took off. She left to the Valley. She said, "I'm not staying here now. Later, anymore. I'm going back to where, you know, where I used to all this stuff." So she went back to the Valley, but at the same time, she was pregnant with my first son, Ricky. And what happened? She took off, and I followed her to the Valley, which was Azusa, California, way out there by the mountains. And I followed her. Probably the best thing I ever did in my life. You know. A huge change. So I got away, followed her out there, and I was like, what am I going to do with myself out here? I had no job. I had to make a living. I had a kid come in, and I had a buddy that I remembered had opened a tattoo shop out there in the Valley. He was born and raised in Los Angeles with me, but he moved out too, and he opened a tattoo shop. So I gave him a ring, and he told me, hey, I remembered you, graffiti, and I remember your writing, and we used to do a lot of flyers by hand back in the days for the parties, when the party flyer parties would go out, and we would do them by hand. So I was pretty popular back in the days doing flyer party flyers. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So we would do them by hand in back in the days, and he's like, man, you had skills. I remember. So he goes, I'm gonna show you something. Come to my shop. And he showed me the airbrush. He goes, this is what, how you're gonna make money. He goes, I remember you had airbrushing back in high school, because I used to show off all my work too in high school, you know. And he goes, you still know how to airbrush? And I was like, man, I'm not scared, but you know, I have to give it a try again. And that's where I was introduced to the banners. He was like, we're going to go to the park. We're going to have these flyers out in the park. And we're going to get business. And that's what we did. We went out to the parks, the Little League parks, and had out, you know, we were promoting. He was already doing banners. So he's like, but he was doing tattoos at the same time. So he was like, man, he wanted me to take over the airbrush park. So he showed me how to hand out, you know, how to get clientele. Went and passed out flyers out in the Valley to a bunch of parks, and sure enough, they were coming to the shop asking for banners, and then he just threw me like, here, this is how it's going to go down.
I remember you doing banners. That was years ago.
Yeah, man. So I worked for him, and, you know, that's what I started doing, banners. I didn't know what I was doing, but, hey, I was getting paid.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, okay, I'm I'm gonna do a batter. I'm gonna do five batters a day. I'm gonna take home like $500. That was good money to me, right?
Yeah.
Like '99, like damn, you know, I could make batters all day, all night, you know.
Yeah.
So that was that.
I remember that. I remember you were painting batters.
Yeah, man. Them were the good old days. Them days. I still think about them, and I still do banners up until this day. But man, I remember, you know, day through night, waking up in the morning, going to sleep. You know, we were just busy doing that day and night.
Yeah, it slowed down a little bit when they start doing the digital ones.
Yeah, it did slow down in the 2000s.
Yeah.
You know, but they're still out there. I just got an order for five of them, like, yesterday. So there's still people that come back that's still loyal and they like that original, authentic, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that look. So they still come back.
And they're the people who...
Not like it was back in the, you know, in the 90s, I want to say. Early 2000s, you know. There was $1 million business right there, you know.
Yeah, it was. But, you know... When they do those banners, they have competitions. The airbrush banners always beat the digital banners.
Up until this day, yes, sir.
Yeah, it originality and all this other stuff. But yeah, airbrush banners still beat the digital banners.
For sure. Yeah, big difference, you know, big difference.
Yeah, so how long did you end up working for him or before you broke out on your own?
I worked with him maybe for about a year, no more than that. So banner season would come on and off. We would do helmets, you know what I mean? And business would slow down, and I would get on other projects. But they were trying to throw me in the tattoo shop, and it was slow. You know, they were like, pick up the tattoo gun now. And I was like, man, I didn't like tattooing. I don't know, for some reason, I just didn't like it. Like, you know, I didn't like the dealing with people, kind of, you know, with blood. And
yeah.
I just didn't want to do tattoos, man. I was like, man, I really don't, you know, I wasn't excited about going to work to tattoo, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I just wanted to paint. So kind of like business kind of slowed down, and you know, he's just like, man, you ain't gonna be tattooing, you know, you gonna have to find something else to do, dog. Like, you know, so I was like, man, no problem, bro. Like, it's like, so pretty much he was training, telling me, like, I'm gonna have to, you know, go find something else to do, because I was just sitting in the shop, you know. I wasn't really giving the effort, because that's not what I wanted to do. It was like competition, because there was about six dudes in there, and you know, they were all professionals, and I was just like a beginner. Like, I didn't want to be jacking people up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I went on my own. I went and started. I opened up. I wanted to airbrush. So I went and got a shop at the local outdoor swap meet. And I didn't know what I was doing. I went there and took a compressor. I mean, I think I took like a picture frame. Like a canvas, like one of those canvases that have like the wood in the back.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I was thinking or what, but I took a big one we had in the living room. I don't know how big it was. It must have been like 5 by 5, 5. I don't know, 3 by 5 or something. It was a big canvas, and I just remember clipping it onto the fence at the swap meet, which is a flea market, you know what I'm saying? I clipped it on. Our swap meets, our day swap meets over here are like the drive-in. They use the drive-ins in the day for the swap meets over here, you know? So it was a pretty drive-in theater, you know, back in the days. And I clipped that canvas on a reverse, so the wood's facing me on the fence. And I don't know what I was doing. I put a t-shirt board in there, and I don't know why I did that. But that was my easel, you know? And that thing was flying with the wind. Every time I tried to write a name, it was falling. I don't know why it was, but people were still eating them up, you know? And they put me right by the, back there. They had, like, them bandas, like, Mexican dance, you know, quebraditas and all that going on right there with the bands. And they were just, like, I would paint a name on a shirt, and they were just, you know, I was able to make some money, and I was like, whoa, I could do this every Tuesday. And I could do this every Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing. And then I started studying a little bit more and see what everybody else was doing. I think that's when MySpace came out. Because I think I remember you from back on West Coast.
West Coast Airbrush.
Yeah. It was like a forum or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Where all the artists would go to.
Back then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So was that before MySpace, or was that...
It was pretty much during MySpace, but Facebook killed WCA, West Coast Airbrush, down. But
yeah, so Yeah, so that's how I got inspired and started soaking up game from other people that were doing it across the map, right?
Yeah.
I thought I was the only one doing it. Everybody was like, man, what are you doing, man? That ain't nobody gonna buy no airbrush. That shit dead, you know? Like, people were like that. And then when that social media came on with that MySpace, and then we had that WCA, I was like, man, there's a bunch of airbrush artists out here with you, to myself, right?
Yeah.
And I wasn't listening to what nobody was saying, you know? But I still have my day job, though, man. You know, I never quit my day job, which I was a steel worker for over 20 years.
Wow.
Nobody knows that. Yeah, I was a crane operator. I was a supervisor. I was a saw operator, sheet metal operator, pretty much a sheet metal. I worked in sheet metal most of my life, you know. So that was from 18 to, you know, to I went full throttle with the airbrush.
That's crazy. See, you know what? I didn't know that. I just thought you was like straight airbrush.
No, man. My grandfather was like a father to me, and my dad, they had me when they were young. So my dad was like 16. So my grandparents raised me, but my grandfather was a steel worker, and he was a steel worker from the 50s, 60s, 70s. You know, he helped build the Queen Mary out here. You know, so I looked up to my grandfather, you know?
Yeah.
And he used to bring home these projects that he would weld. And, like, he was an artist as well, but he would do it with steel, you know? He would make chairs. He would make everything out of steel, man. So, long story short, when I turned 18, my grandfather had the pops, my uncles, everybody in the steel business. So my uncle went full throttle with steel work. He got me a job in Long Beach, opening up a new warehouse for some rich Jewish man. He owned a steel company. They threw me in there, man, and they just had me unloading trucks with the crane. I didn't know nothing, but my uncle said, just tell me you know. And I remember, I said, yeah, I know how to operate a crane. I didn't know how to operate an overhead crane, but they was just sending trucks, and then me and my other cousin, Big Fred, rest in peace, they had us unloading, trucks. We was about 18, 19, and we made it happen, man. We wanted to work. We wanted to make some money, so we learned. My uncle showed me, you know, just a couple of things. Just be careful to do this. Put the chains on the bundles, strap them up, choke them in the dead center, you know, lift them up, take them off the truck. So we caught game quick, you know. We soaked it up, and I became a steel worker.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. Well, you don't know it, but you'll learn. I can learn it. I learned it.
Yeah, even though I almost killed myself, I ain't even gonna lie about how many times dropping loads and, you know, chain busting off of the loads, you know what I mean? And, man, so many close calls with death on that, man. Yeah. They had two teenagers unloading trucks in there, you know, in a big warehouse. Trucks were just coming in with bundles of, you know, steel rod, wrought iron, 100-foot, you know, pieces of bundles of wrought iron, you know. And we were unloading them, man. We were unloading them trucks. And then it just moved on to a crane operator, yeah. Then moved on to, like, the machines and, you know, I got like 20 years I worked in that steel industry.
Man, that ain't no easy job.
I'm 53 right now. 52, I want to say. I think 52. One of them.
My
last count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After 50, it's just gravy after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit. But, I remember you were in a flea market. I remember you were doing banners. I remember you were doing helmets. I remember all of that. That's crazy.
We were sharing a lot. I remember me and you and a couple of other fellas, we had like a text message going. We would share a word, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we were helping each other out, you know, and I'm glad to see that, you know, we still, you know, tight like that, like our circle, you know what I mean? Even though we don't communicate a lot, but it's good to see people that made it all the way through too.
Yeah, still doing it.
What was that, Ralph? That was about what? About... Man, 19 years ago, 18
yeah,
years ago?
Yeah, that was a long-ass time ago.
So here we are today, still talking about it, you know what I'm saying? Some of us made it, and some of us, you know, dropped the ball. But a lot of us, I can say a handful of us that was there 19 years ago, we're still doing what we love to do, you know?
Yeah.
And making a living out of it, you know?
And making a living. Kids fed, kids went to school. I see your son, something about a robotic arm or something.
Yeah, that's my son Ricky. He's the one that not my first son, but he's the oldest with me and my wife. Right? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that's when I picked up the airbrush because she was painting for him. So yeah, he's airbrushed. he's been around the airbrush, and he does airbrush, but he had his dream to be an engineer, and that's what he went to college for. But at the same time, airbrushing got him through college as well, so he's been doing events. He does events with me when he wants to now, you know what I'm saying? He got an internship with the aerospace company, so he's doing that, going to school still. He's going to be graduating pretty soon, man. I'm happy for that. He's in his fifth year.
You know, that's a blessing right there, bro.
Engineering. And he's only 23 years old, man. You know, I'm proud of him.
Yeah, that's good.
Out of high school.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's good, man. That's a blessing.
Yeah, man. And he still likes airbrushing, though, you know, so he sees that I got a crew of guys, and there's a couple of young ones his age that work with me, so you know, and some good people. So, you know, I just got this young kid with me that's 19, and he seen me taking him out, and they're good friends. So he's like, "Dad, I'm gonna jump back in the game with you." And so he came back to work with me, and he didn't get. I thought he would be rusty, but he got better. He came back. You know? It's like I think he really like. I looked at his work. I'm like, man, where you been at, man? You should have been over here helping me all this time, you know?
Yeah, all this time. Yeah. So, what airbrushes do you use now?
I'm using the Waters, the bottom feed ones. What are those? Eclipse.
Yeah, Eclipse HPBCSs.
Yeah. That one's a. You know, now that I know how to, now that I know you got to keep the backs on them and the tops, you know, the nozzles on them and all that. You know, they work every time I go out. They don't fail me, you know. And I know how to, you know, I pack them right now. Before, I would take the nozzles off, the backs off, the needles would be bent up. You know what I mean? We'll just keep them on the, you know, on the roll. And, you know, I wouldn't really protect them. But now that I put the backs on and the nozzles, man, I don't know what I was thinking back in the days. But they work so beautiful every time I go out, you know.
Everything's a learning experience, man.
Yeah,
you learn from it.
You know how we used to take the nozzles off and, you know, the tip drive, we just scratch them with our fingers. Get back in it. So I would get a habit of airbrushing all my waters with the nozzles off and the caps off, right? That's a cap, right? The first one you take off, that's the cap, right?
Yeah, the little thing on the front.
Yeah, so I would just roll around like that without mine. But, man, I would bendy needles. I was, you know, everything. But now one of my boys told me, hey, you got to take care of your stuff better, bro. And so I listen to him, and every time I go out to do my events, you know, they working like butter.
So, do you have a particular kind of paint you like? Because I know, like, a lot of people move to E-Tac, because Createx is, I don't know. So, but which one do you use?
I want to say shout out to Createx. You know, we made a lot of money with Createx. But I should jump in the game with the E-Tac, man. I'm using E-Tac right now, and I've been using it for about, I want to say, a good 6-7 months. Maybe a little longer than that. But I wouldn't go anywhere else right now, but I'll stick to E-Tac. That's the one that I use right now.
Yeah, I love it black. I love it black.
The black? Yeah, the black's good. The black's good. I love using the neon blue one, though. And that neon blue, bro, that thing right there is like, you talked about Dr. Blue out here. That sucker is the blue that I love. It's like a popsicle blue. I don't know if you remember Aquaflow.
Yeah.
Aquaflow had a popsicle blue. I just love blue. Man, that's my favorite color. But black is great. On the white, I would love to stick with the Aquaflow, but it's hard to get Aquaflow these days.
Yeah.
So white, I don't use E-Tac white. I still use the Createx, but I mix it with a little bit of Wicked White, so I kind of strain it, and it works out good for me like that.
Okay.
Half Createx, the regular opaque white, and then half Wicked.
I like the Wicked, but I talked to Bill, the guy who's over E-Tac. He said they have a white that's ready to touch everybody. That's a really good white. I've been meaning to try it out.
Is it out yet, or is it?
I think he said it's out. I'm gonna have to give him a shout, try it out.
Yeah, because someone told me, because I put someone on game two with the E-Tac, and they're like, "Man, this white is, man, I love this E-Tac white." I'm like, "You got white? I didn't tell you get white." But they got the white and they love it, so I was like, "Okay, I gotta try it."
Yeah, it's definitely something you gotta try out.
Yeah.
So is it a? Do you have a lot of competition in your area, or I appreciate you.
There's a handful, you know, but I'm my own competition, you know, all the time, you know. But I want to say I focus more on what I got to do for myself. I really don't focus on the competition, man. Because if I did that, I'll be, you know, screwed up, you know.
Yeah, true story.
So I just be focusing and trying to figure out how to build. But there is a handful of competition out there, you know. And, you know, there's not too many airbrush artists, so, you know, everybody talks around here, and so I kind of know kind of everything, you know, what goes on around here. And, you know, there's, so I like I said, I just try to focus on my company and build it and be my own competition, you know?
Yeah, that's a damn good answer right there.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah. So, when did you switch from doing, to parties? Were you just doing them, like, spare like in between regular shops or what?
I was running a shop, right? I was running a shop, and then let me see how did it start. It started in early 2000s. I want to say it started in about 2011, around there. Because I found somebody online, like. You know what? I think MySpace started after WCA. Because MySpace, I went on there, and I remember it came on, and I was like, I thought I was the only average artist in the world, right? MySpace came out, and I think, I don't know if you remember, were you on MySpace back in the day?
Yeah, a little bit.
So if you do that search bar, and you punch in average artists, it would take you to all the average artists in the world. And you know what I mean? And I was like, whoa. I was like, I ain't the only airbrush artist. So, because I guess they would kind of categorize it by what you did for a living on MySpace, right? Like,
yeah.
You were automotive, you punch in automotive, Jones Automotive, everyone, a whole list of shit would come out, right? You punch in airbrush on the search bar, all the airbrush artists would come out. So then I was like, whoa, you know, it kind of inspired me, you know what I'm saying? So, I punched that in. And I started looking at everyone's pages, and especially here in Los Angeles, I was looking for, like, a job, pretty much, you know?
Yeah.
And there was just people out here that were doing events. I seen a guy painting on a yacht, and he was painting a T-shirt on the yacht, right? And I was like, whoa, I hit him up. I was like, yo, this is what I do. Hit me up if you ever need any help. And sure enough, he hit me up, and he took my first event with him was on the yacht. And I was like, man, really? I know I can get paid doing this. You know, like, I think he started me off with like $70 an hour. And I was like, man, I look forward to them all the time. I was bugging him, like, we got to worry about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how that took off, you know? And he was a cool guy. I was grateful that he, you know, gave me that opportunity, man. And eventually I started my own business down the line, you know, because he was asking for me to bring other artists on board if I knew any other artists. So I was like, yeah, man. So I would take, you know, some of the guys I worked with previous to his events with me. And, you know, it just went down like that. He started building a team, and then they forgot about me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, man, my boys would tell me, hey, I'm going this weekend. You're going? And I'm like, what do you mean they didn't call me? You know what I mean? Like... So they were pretty much undercutting them versus me, you know what I mean? Like, so they were paying them less, so I guess they would call them before they would call me now, you know? But took all my boys, you know? So with that being said, I was like, all right, you guys want to do that to me? All right, so then let me figure out what I got to do for myself. And that's pretty much how I started my business, you know? I pretty much started my business, just soaked up game as much as I can from when I was with them. You know what I'm saying? So I opened up my entertainment company, and that's what I just hit the right links, and it was on and cracking, man.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a good thing. Sometimes it's better to break out on your own and do shit by yourself. You ain't got to worry about all that.
Yeah, but no, they don't want you to, though. You know what I mean? So if I was, like, listening to them all the time, I would have never, you know, got where I wanted to be. They didn't want me to build. They were kind of upset because I built, you know. They were kind of upset because I was linking up with certain people. You know what I'm saying? They were kind of upset when I would post my work up. You know, you can't post that up. You can't do this. So they were really controlling my art, you know, and I didn't like it, you know. They were like, you can't be on this page, you can't be on this. They were just pretty much controlling me. So I just said, hey, you know what? I'm not the one, you know what I mean? Like, you can't tell me what I can, what I cannot do, you know, because I come from nothing, you know? So,
yeah,
you know, I didn't have to hear it, man, you know? And I just, you know, just, I stood my ground and did what I had to do for myself and my family, you know? And that's what I did. No love lost, you know what I mean? But I gotta do what I gotta do.
Yeah, that's first and foremost. You gotta take care of yours first.
Yeah, especially you guys ain't calling me no more. You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna have to do what I gotta do. That's how that went down. And I started doing events, entertainment, you know, showing up at these parties, showing off, you know, painting and throwing glitter around on shirts and shit. You know what I mean? I was bringing the crowd to, you know, to my lighting and to my easel, you know?
It's about the show. It's about the show half most of the time.
Yeah, so I had that in me, you know? I just want to say, because growing up, you know, breakdancing, all that stuff, that's why I, you know, post a lot of that stuff, because that's what I did, you know? You know, I was part of the whole hip-hop, you know, movement. So I know all these parties we were doing and everything, I always had DJ music and they love that hip hop, right? So what am I doing? I'm pretty much dancing with my airbrush, you know? So people were like, man, this guy, like, well, can I get your card? You know what I mean? And I just started handing my card out and building business, you know? And every event I went to, I made sure I took cards and I made sure I was focusing on everyone that said, oh, that's nice. I made sure I had them a card. I made sure that I put a card in every piece or everything that I did was stamped with my name on it, you know?
Yeah.
It was important, you know? Sometimes that was more important than making the money, you know what I mean? I'm trying to grab these.
Yeah, get more business.
Especially if I'm working with the wealthy people, you feel me? So I just need to get my card in these wealthy people's house somewhere. Each person needs to take a card home with them, you know? And that was what I was doing.
Sometimes all it takes is one party, and then it can, like, everybody else started calling you from that one party.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know? And I was working in, my first biggest gig was for Rolling Stone magazine, right? And I took pictures, and that's what I built my webpage with. And as soon as I did that, it just went crazy on the internet, too. You know, like, oh, we need you here. He was at Rolling Stone magazine, Rolling Stone Coachella, yep. So then, you know, just they wanted me there. Now I'm gonna be here. It was like a snowball effect, you know. That's how I got up to, like I said earlier, with Jay-Z and everyone else, you know. And it's just a snowball effect, bro. Meeting people, you know, doing things with you know, these people, making sure that it's known, you know.
Yeah,
that's what people want, you know. I know a lot of people like, don't take pictures. Nah, I ain't gonna ask them. You know, they too good to ask for a picture or something. But these people are really like just me and you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not gonna bug no one for a picture if it's the right time and we vibing. Then yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, hey, especially I like when they ask me for a picture. Then I go, all right, I can get a picture with me. I can get a picture with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's usually how it goes down.
And that's good, because that's great for promotions, too.
Yeah, man, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. So, how did, the reason I started the podcast was back for COVID, like, you know, trying to get everybody, like, what everybody's doing around, to help save their businesses for COVID, or what they're doing different to try to give people ideas. How did it affect you when COVID hit?
Man, to be honest, I've been in situations where I just lost everything. In 2017, my house burned down, right? That was not too long ago. I didn't have no insurance. I was renting. I had no renting insurance. Everything just, I pretty much lost. I had to start from the bottom up. I pretty much was homeless with my family at a hotel and shit for like 2 weeks. But that was in 2017, right?
Yeah.
So that was crazy because I wasn't expecting all the stuff I built all through all these years. I lost it in a house fire, and I never knew about rental insurance. I wasn't knowing about insurance, none of that. Long story short, I didn't want my family was living pretty decent for us to be in a hotel, and everything burned down, and you know, that made me a stronger person, you know, like seeing my kids. And I told me, you know what, we're going to get everything back. You don't worry, I'm going to give you my word, you know. I'm going to do what I got to do. And I still was doing events, so everything was still booked. Even my house burned. I had an event the following weekend, you know what I mean? But at the same time, like, I worked with everybody out here in the corporate world, and I reached out to everybody for a little helping hand, you know, like get Coach Airbrush was one of them. I said, hey man, my house just burned down, like I need to get some airbrushes, paint, whatever it takes. I need everything to, you know, I'll pay you when I get on my feet, I promise. But Dave did me a favor, he's like, get whatever you need, you know, we'll just hold an invoice for you, don't worry about it. So Dave and gave me everything I needed, man, and I just kept hitting these events. But I was going hard, because what had happened, it was a tragedy, I want to say, you know what I mean, like, man. So all I did was that built me strong. So when COVID hit 2 years later, that was nothing, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, my lungs just burned out and I'm on my feet all over again. Like, I made it happen, you know, like, COVID, well, you ain't stopping me, you know what I mean? Like, I started doing the mask. I said, okay, everyone's wearing masks. That's going to be the thing, this trendy thing to do. And I started looking for white masks, and I found some, and I put them up. And, man, I was busy through COVID just painting masks, you know? I was just painting masks, like, I was offering them at these events, even though people weren't having events. But the people that I worked, they really weren't too believing in that COVID, man, you know?
Yeah.
They were like, we have a party. It's going to be on the down low. We're still going to have our party, but everybody, you know. And so I still was doing parties, but I was just pushing the mask. And a lot of my people that follow me showed me a lot of love during that time, because everybody was wearing masks, right? Everybody wanted a mask for me, right? Like, for some reason, you know, I was just stenciling them, making them live whatever they wanted, smiling out, crying, their praying hands, you know, all the stuff we did at the Swami.
Yeah, masks. Whatever you need, bro. I can put it on there for you.
Yeah, I said we were just doing them in our masks now, so that's what helped me get through COVID. But I was still doing events little by little, you know.
Yeah.
And the masks were bangers, because they were coming in like 20. I still worked with brand names. They want 100. You know what I mean? They were still coming in like in bulk orders, you know. And they were at $20 a pop during COVID time.
So, yeah, because everybody had that.
You know, I would get on my feet real quick, you know.
Yeah, everybody had that extra money during COVID. You locked in the house, you got that, yeah, all that money, you got to do something with it.
Exactly. People were spending money during COVID, bro.
Man, I remember that.
That's how I survived COVID. But yeah. I was still doing events on the side, and I built an Etsy, you know what I mean? Money was coming through that. You know, my webpage been up for a minute, you know what I mean? So I was getting stuff through my webpage, so I was able to live comfortably, you know what I mean? Yeah. Especially I had just got through from coming hard from that loss, you know?
Yeah, yeah, bouncing back off of that.
Huh?
Bouncing back off of that fire? You bounced back from that?
Yes, sir. I bounced back like crazy, man, you know? I bounced back like crazy. I was able to get everything back to that loss. Times five, you know what I'm saying? So I was just like, man, it's a blessing, bro. You know,
that's blessed.
I'm the most humblest person, man. Like, for all that, bro, to see my family come back, and I promised everybody I'm gonna get them everything back, and everything came to life, and you know, I made it happen, bro. You know, with my family, and you know, I told them, and I look at them today, and I told you, remember what I told you, man? You know, here we are today, you know.
Yeah, I always tell my wife it's going to be greater later.
Yep.
When we're struggling, yeah, it'll be greater later. Shit, we'll be all right.
That's it. That's it, you know. As long as you put your heart and your soul into everything you do, you know, and stick to the plan, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of got to do with networking and who you know, too, you know what I mean? Like, you got to hit all the right networks and make sure, you know, you're doing the right thing, you know.
Did you do a lot? Do you do online sales, or are you just?
I do online sales, but a majority of my sales are phone calls. I hardly get anything online. Like Etsy, I haven't went on that in a long time, and I don't even know if there's anything in there, because I wasn't really like managing that my wife was managing that, but she's so busy with the events and all that crap, we don't even open that SC up, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're trying to take care of this other thing over here, you know? So that's how that is with the Etsy. So I don't take any online orders. No, I don't. But I get calls because I get referrals from Coast Airbrush. They send everyone to me for, like, a pair of shoes, one T-shirt, you know what I mean, one stuff like that. So I do take some of it if they want to wait for me, like, 2-week turnaround, you know what I mean? I'll do it. But on the spot, no.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do on. That used to be the pride of my thing. Like, I could do it right now and then. You know, you order it, I'll try to have it to you the same day. But then, after a while, yeah, that shit started fading out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I hate to tell people no because we got our friends and family. They always say, can you do one shirt for me? Oh, wait. Like, they always think about me. And I'm like, man, I really don't want to tell them no, you know, because, you know, everyone gets hurt because, oh, you can do it for these people, you can't do it for us. You know what I mean? So I still, that's one problem about me that I do have that I cannot tell nobody no that knows me, like a friend or something. It's hard for me to tell them no because I feel like, you know, I'm thinking I'm too good or something, you know?
Yeah.
I know it ain't that in it, but I'd be like, man, are you serious right now? Like, you need it by tomorrow. Let me see what I could do for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just keep it simple for me, please, and I'll make it happen. If you get it difficult, I mean, I would have to pass on this one. I'll give you always number. You could call him and walk into the swamp and get it done, you know?
Yeah.
So they work with me, I work with them pretty much.
Yeah, I think we all got that problem right there, bro.
Yeah. I hate telling people no, even though I have a whole load of shit to do, you know? I feel that I could always slip it in there, you know what I mean?
And they always wait to the last minute sometimes.
Let me do it the way I want to do it, and as long as you just need writing, okay.
Yeah.
I'll do it, you know?
Yeah.
That's all they want, some writing, all right? I'll slip it in at an event, you know what I mean? Knock it out there, you know?
Yeah. But that's a good thing, man. So when you do the events, do they provide you tables or whatnot? You have to bring all that, set that up in your
ears? I ask for everything before I go there, bro. I ask for the tables. All I really need to do is show up and paint, you know. These events, they're not just your average events, you know. They're high-end events, corporate events, brand names. Like, they got the budgets. I need a table. I need an extra electric outlet. I need light. No problem.
Yeah. You know? I kind of got away from parties, but this year I kind of got back into doing them a little bit. So I said I'm a little out of practice of getting my pricing right and all of that. But I'm going to figure it out because I got a couple of more coming up. Plus, I do a lot of different things. I got some photo boots and all that shit going on now.
Yeah, I do all that stuff too, man. Photo booths. We offer a lot of different things, you know. It's just airbrushing. I mean, it's, I don't know if you've seen it, using the markers, we use the spray cans, we have photo booths. I try to set up the whole party, you know what I mean? DJ, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I'm well known DJs out here, I know, from the radio station. I'll put their name out there and jump in. That's how we jump in these big events with, like, and DJ Quick and Too Short. I just did an event with them, you know what I mean? I get to work with these cool artists out here, you know?
So,
I try to jump in them type of big events like that, man. But that's sort of that, you know?
Corporate. Yeah. You can't just offer one thing. You gotta be universal. You gotta have a lot of shit to offer.
Yeah, mainly art. People come for me for art, but different medias, you know what I mean? I don't think people, when they want airbrush, they really know what the hell airbrush is, to be honest with you. Like, I could be doing marker and Thomas airbrush, and this is like, oh, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, some people say, hey, that's airbrush. Yeah, so I'm using marker, but it's not an airbrush, but it can be, you know? So pretty much I carry my airbrush around when I'm doing mixed media all the time. Even I'm working with markers, I'll spray like a little bit of airbrush on it. So it's just a mixed media, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's some stuff that you don't want to airbrush like all day, you know, because it takes, sometimes when it's hard surface, it takes longer to do, right?
Yeah.
So I use paint markers and then I use a little effects of airbrush. So it's just up to you. It's all timing. Money, you know, airbrushing is all timing, you know?
Yeah. The faster you are, the more money you make.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Airbrushing is all how quick you are. It's a hustle.
Yeah. Do you do it?
In my game. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm painting t-shirts, whatever, on the spot. Like, we need to take care of this crowd of 200, you know what I mean? And trying to get everybody served, you know?
Yeah.
The faster we do it, the faster we get the money.
Facts. Facts.
We gotta keep it professional, too, you know? So everyone on my team is either on my level or better, you know? So, you know, they know we offer quality work. Even though we busted it out in a minute or two, it still looks fresh, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what it's all about, and they love to see it like that too. Like, damn, he fast. That look good.
That's right. Yeah, sometimes we'll leave the highlights out, you know, but they won't notice, you know. But you know, we know what we got to do. We know when someone's behind us watching us, and we got to show off a little. And then when they walk away, we're slipping another one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, add a little zing, you know, while they watching this shit.
Yeah, it's all about showboating, you know, and. Slipping in them quick ones, showboats, slipping in quick ones, showboat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the way you get shit done.
Especially
doing quick ones all the time. You gotta stay there and do some cool stuff. Even though they're quick, they still enjoy them, though, you know?
Yeah. They still amazed by it.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll just spray the airbrush and everybody's like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, you know, I just sprayed the fuck
down.
I didn't even do nothing.
Yeah, you know? Shit. So, Well, in Canada, I guess you know a lot of people, so y'all do a lot of networking. Do you you share your work, or you bring in other people in?
Repeat that again.
I said, do you do a lot of networking with other artists over there?
Networking with
other artists.
Oh, networking. I'm sorry. I try to keep my circle tight. Everyone that works for me is interviews before we go do any events. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta lay down the rules real quick. You know what I mean? Like, this is how it's gonna be, not to be asshole or nothing. You know what I mean? Like, you guys, you know, I own the company. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, your reputation.
Yeah, we got a good reputation. You know, this is how it's gonna be run. If you're down with me to run like this, and I don't just bring any random person in. It's like somebody that knows somebody, or I met this to another person, or you know what I mean? Like, I don't really bring in too many airbrush artists. I mainly bring in artists, airbrush artists that I've worked with, and we worked more than 10 times, and, you know, we just vibe together, and they understand, you know, it is my company, stuff like that. So I do bring people in like that, you know what I mean? People that come in and they try to come to me for a job and I don't know nothing about them, I give them a chance too, but they have to know where I'm coming from before I give them that chance, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I have to have an interview and lay it down. A lot of people will roll with me for a while, and they understand I'm not an asshole. I treat everybody fairly. I pay good, as long as you're showing up there on time and clean and not late and just doing what we're here to paint. That's it. That's all I ask for. And if we go home right after, and you, I don't have to leave you behind and worry about you staying there and drinking with my clients or nothing like that. Like, we pack up, break it down, and we got to get out of here. And those that follow suit, them are the ones that still work with me, you know?
Yeah.
I got to weed them off, you know? I got to weed off these artists. And some of them, they just fade to the side a little bit, you know?
It be that way sometimes.
I know.
You gotta take care of your stuff first. You know what I'm saying? You can't be worried about if they ain't going to do right, you got to go, bro.
Yeah. I don't care how good you are, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you got to know, you know, I'm paying you good, too, you know? So we're saying we're going to pay 25 t-shirts an hour. That's what we're going to do. We ain't going to, you know, let the other guy do more than, you know, we got to all pump out this production. We got a production line going here. We got to do. So the way I've been setting it up now is artists go with me. Okay, we're going to do 3 hours. You're going to paint 75 pieces. Here's your 75 pieces. Before you leave tonight, these all need to be done. And if nobody's here, ordering stuff, we still painting because I'm paying you, right? So we're painting ahead of time for the next event. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still paying the paint. So just do some backgrounds on all these hats for me a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can't stand around and not do nothing because we ain't got no work. Just keep painting backgrounds. And then, you know, I carry them around for my next event, shit, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool, right? That's a good thought right there.
Yeah.
Because if you finish beforehand, you're just standing around.
At the bar, you know, I get on a big walking around, on the restroom, like, yo, we just stay in our station, just gotta keep painting for these 3 hours, bro, because you're getting top-notch dollars here. You ain't getting no, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I try to do it, but thankfully we've been busy enough to just, you know, keep producing and paint. You know, when we get to these events, we start off slow and it just, next thing you know, we're just booming. You know, everyone's taking the orders and we paint. So we really don't have no downtime when we have events, for, to be honest.
That's good. That's a good thing. So, Ed, you know, I don't know if you know Ed. Ed asked me, he said, you remember someone contacted you from Dubai. Did you go? Or how did that go? Yeah. And then, like, right now, me and my wife at the point, we just want to travel a little bit. Like, we go, but the only bad part about it is when we go, like, let's say we go to Vegas, you know, I got to go by and see all the airbrush artists over there. Or we go to Florida, we got to go to all the airbrush shops and stand around and look around over there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's mandatory, man. That's your love right there. That's your passion. You want to see how people are doing it on this side of this town. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For sure, I do the same thing when I go into, you know, anywhere from, you know, the states that I'm able to go to. I've pretty much been all around here in the U.S., pretty much a lot of states, you know. I like when I actually go out to other states to paint, you know. It that's what I got the benefit of sometimes, you know. Went out to San Francisco, went out to Vegas to paint with Jonathan and them. I go out to New York. I've been out there 3 or 4 times to paint out there. Florida, shit, man. So many places, Hawaii. I've been all over, man, painting. So, you know, about getting paid, working one day, and it pays for my whole vacation sometimes.
Hell yeah.
So, what else am I going to ask for, you know?
Yeah, true story. So, when you do events, you ever had any accidents where you got any paint on the floor or a wall or anything?
Yeah. I had an accident one time. I was painting at this house, and I was doing basketballs, I think. And somebody told me, hey, let's use this, what do you call them, heat guns?
Yeah.
Like a blow dryer, but it was a heat gun. And I was like, hey, that's not a bad idea to dry these basketballs real quick. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Hawaii, and then we got to put the name. So I started using the heat gun. And what happened was they had me painting in this huge house. The grass was that artificial grass. So I was working so fast that I set the hot heat gun on the grass. And it just melted the whole grass in that area. That's one of the things that I was like, man, I had to cover that up somehow, some way. It was hard to disguise it, you know?
Yeah.
Lucky it was on 4th of July when I was doing that event, so I picked up a skyrocket I found in the middle of the stream, just put it in that area, man. I'm sorry, man. I'm here, whoever's house that was, but I just put a skyrocket right there, and I said, oh, no, that skyrocket landed right there, you know? But that was one accident, but as far as paint goes, I can't remember anything happening to me, but I know that some of my workers had major freaking explosions in hotels and stuff like that, and I had to pay for it. Yeah,
man, I did it one time.
So it happened in my company. Yes, they spilled paint plenty of times on walls, on hotel walls, on drapery. You know, these guys sometimes they just, you know, moving too fast. You know?
It happens though. I had to come back out, man. I had to scrub this lady. She had, like, rocks out there, man. I had to scrub the rocks off. Because I was like, man.
I haven't had no accidents with that E-Tac, though, because that stuff seems like it's stained. But I haven't had no accident, thankfully. My son, I was trying to show him how to clean the airbrushes a while back, and I was showing him, when you know how when you get the nozzle from the cap of the bottle, and you put the nozzle on the tip of the airbrush and you spray it so it could clear that nozzle off.
Oh, yeah, yeah, blowback.
The straw?
Yeah.
That's another way of I used to clean my airbrush. Like, when the straw used to get clogged up, I would spray the airbrush right through it. Like, but I would spray it, like, in a trash can or something. But my son, for some reason, put the straw out of the bottle and he sprayed it, and the bottles flew out, the paint flew out the bottle onto. And they had them working by white curtains and white.
Oh, shit.
And it was a mess. I had a, you know, I end up coming out upside down on that event. Like, I end up paying for everything. But they were cool about it. He said he still went out with the event through the whole mess around him. I was like, man, I would have tried to shut it down at that.
I'm already done. I'm already in the negative shit.
It was a high-end event,
too, man. The chairs got painted on. I had to pay for all the chairs that were around him, the curtains, the rug. They had to change, they patch it out. You know, they were able to cut the rug part and patch it in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They put like a square in and they fluff it back out so you can't even tell. So they fixed that. But I was like, man.
It's always something that can happen, though. You got to be prepared for it. You're never prepared for it, but you got to try to be.
Yeah. What was that?
I said, it's something always going to happen sometimes, but you got to be prepared for it if you can.
My thing is now, when I get to these events and people are pumped up and trying to rush, put the smash down on me, I'm like, I just get there early enough to make sure everything's right. You know what I mean? And sometimes they don't happen. I'm there early on time because I'm jumping from event to event, and the window's just a short window to get from here to there. But I pretty much organized pretty good already. Like, my airbrushes are in a toolbox. I make sure they got poke holes in them. You know what I'm saying? I make sure all that is, legit. The summer's when it's brutal when them things explode, right?
Yeah.
And when you're traveling, they ain't bad. So you got to make sure you punch in them little vents in the bottles when you're about to get, before you even start them. If you punch them holes in your box, punch them somewhere before you even pull them off, you know?
Yeah. I put a little carpet under my stuff in my area.
Yeah, I got drops. I use drops. Harbor Freight, they carry a black, like, you know, the moving blankets, the quilts, the black ones. They're like quilts that go like when you're moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they carry like a small black one that's maybe about 3x5, I want to say, and I carry those, and they work out perfect. I just put it on, they look nice and neat, you know what I mean? And they're not all bulky, they're just like a nice drop. So I carry those with me everywhere. All my workers, they got one. I make sure everybody has one of those. But you can find those at Harbor Freight, and I'll give you guys a tip on that. I know you guys got Harbor Freight out there, right?
Yeah, we got Harbor Freight.
Yeah, they got that. Go back with them with them quilt. They got a nice little 3x5, I think. A small one for like $4. And that's what I use.
Nice. I get a little $16, like 10x12. What's it called when you stand on it? It's got the cushion in it.
Yeah, the foam, like a foam.
Yeah. I use one of those from Home Depot.
Home Depot.
Yeah.
That stuff might be heavy though, 10x12.
Yeah. But I roll it up. But see, my easel got a little wheels on it, so I just roll it. Everything's inside my easel. I just roll it up to the space.
Dope.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Have you ever done any body painting or face painting or whatnot?
Yeah, I've done that body painting at car shows and stuff. You know, face tattoos, face painting I never did, but I airbrushed like Dia de los Muertos type of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not scared to do it, but that's not really what I like doing, but I do it, you know. But I don't like doing it.
Yeah, you can put that on your resume, though, that I can do it if I have to.
Yeah, I mean, I'll do it if the money's right, too, and this is the right thing, you know?
Yeah.
The right event, you know, if it's something that's the right event, and, you know, it's gonna, you know, but I just don't do it because somebody wants to be painted like, I don't know, want to be painted like Frankenstein this Halloween. I won't do it, you know what I mean? Unless it's like a real close friend or something, but I got away from that. When I was at the Swami, people would walk in, like, during Halloween, I would do it because I was out there like that, but now I run away from jobs like that, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. After a while, you don't want to do it. And some things I just don't do it no more either, too. I'm like, man, I already did that shit. I don't want to do it no more.
Yeah, I'm not trying to pay nobody today. And then you ain't really, they really don't want to pay unless you get someone to, like, movies or something. You know, you charge them by the hour, but people, I don't know. I just don't like doing it, dog. Because the paint, then I have to go buy paint. So I just use Createx on you. You know what I mean? I just use whatever I have right here. That's what I used to use at the Swami. White Createx. And then,
throw some color on that shit. Blow it
on their face and throw some black circles in their eyes and your Beetlejuice. Let's go.
All right. Hey, so what's one thing about airbrushing taught you that everyone should learn?
Run that by me again.
What's the one thing about airbrushing that you learned that everyone should learn? Like, for instance, like, like Ed used to tell me all the time, I should learn how to do dagger strokes. You know, start out with the dot lines of daggers when we first started out. What, since you've been airbrushing, what do you think a new person should learn first?
Burst. The star burst.
Yeah.
Which is dagger strokes, you know, pretty much. I always put everyone on, because everybody's like, I could do it. I could do it. It's nothing. It's easy. Everybody thinks it's easy, right? So I tell them, do me a star burst, and I'll tell you if you know how to airbrush. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard for people to do starburst for some reason.
Yeah.
You know? So I throw them on that starburst and make them learn that so they can get it right, you know? Dagger strokes, them are whatever you want to call them. Dagger strokes, rat tails, wow, there's so many different, but they're pretty much the starburst, right? They're being easy to do. They look like they're easy, but they ain't. And you could judge someone by their stars and how good they're going to be airbrushing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think I'm good at that. I'm self-taught, so I learned in my garage looking at WCA like everybody else, you know.
I'm the same like you, sure enough, yeah.
Yeah, so that's one of the, you know, everybody don't practice. It's people who can do portraits real good, but their writing ain't that good, you know. So you concentrate, some people concentrate on one thing more than they do everything else. And I can write. I think my writing's good.
It ain't that hard to do though. But you know what I mean. You after you did a million of them, you're pro already. You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You did a million of them. You know. So, but that's what you say. I would have someone. If I wanted to tell someone to learn how to do starburst, and of course learn how to do straight lines to the right and to the left, up and down. You know. And yeah. if you could do a line and make it a dagger stroke at the very end, like, you know, that's what I have a practice. I don't practice circles, you know, shit like that.
Yeah. All right, we got like a couple more questions. We've been over an hour, so I know you got somewhere to do. I don't want to waste the rest of your time up.
Yeah, but I'm good, man. I'm chilling, bro. Like, I've been busting my ass for the last couple of days because I'm moving, and it's like they had me move like today type of thing. Like, I thought they would give me a couple of weeks to move. Not saying that they're pushing me out, but I just got a new pad and everything. So they're like, you can move in tomorrow. I'm like, tomorrow? Like, so I had to move on. So I'm just, man, I've been going at it all day moving. And luckily, I'm not moving that far, you know, so.
Oh, man, that's a, moving anytime is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, man, tell me about it.
You find shit you ain't know you had, you got to pack that shit up.
I haven't even got to that part yet. So I'm barely like trying to figure out for sure how I'm going to do it, you know. But for sure the garage is going to be the last thing to move out, you know. So I'm just starting with the clothes and packing them and just throwing them in the truck. And, you know what I'm saying, whatever I can, all this airbrush overflow I got, I threw it in the trailer, you know, it's ready to go, you know. But that's what I've been doing. So today, I know yesterday we talked, and then today you told me, hey, let's do this at 5 or 6. So I did everything I can. I just shut it down from moving. I said I'll be back on it in the morning, you know.
Yeah. You still got that Monte Carlo?
What was that?
You still got that Monte Carlo?
I had several of them ones. I don't know which one you're talking about.
You had a gray one. Yeah, the silver one.
Yeah, I had two silver ones. One of them was just a regular window, and now I got one with the aero coupe with the bubble window. Yeah, I have that one. That sucker right there is one of my babies. I still have it.
Yeah, you had a bunch of badass cars for a while.
Man, that's what I do, man. I just collect, man. I collect cars, and I try to invest in them and in the right cars, you know, because that thing, they just, you know, they just appreciate over the years, you know?
Yeah.
I think I paid $17 for that Monte Carlo in 2000. I bought it in 2019, and then now it's worth $35.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? So they appreciate it, man. So that's what I just try to, you know, try to put my money into, my hard work and money into these cars. And I don't think I'm blowing money. I'm investing into myself with them cars. And if I ever want to retire, my goal is like sell them or just keep them as long as I can. If I need some money, I'll sell one or two of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You do car shows?
I don't have to. I just keep building, you know?
Yeah, you do car shows or anything? Or you just...
With my cars?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a car club out here in
in California. It's called Showtime. We're the West Coast chapter. There's chapters around, but I'm one of the members of Showtime Car Club. So I have a couple of cars. I have some Impala. I have an Impala. It's really popular out here. It's called Active Deuce. It's a gold one. And then I have a Baldair, a 56 Baldair. That one, man, that's my baby right there. That one's been in shows. They've been on music videos. They've been in a lot of video shoots. Man, I got some good things coming up with them cars, too, with some good people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a win-win with them cars, man. It's a win-win. It's a win-win.
Man. Sure. I think at my point, I had four vehicles at the same time. And it was like, it started to become a pain in my ass because I had, my big red truck, I had my motorcycle, I had my white truck, and then I had a Cadillac. I'm like, man, I told my wife it's time for us to start, downsizing a little bit because I'm getting ready to retire and keep it up with four vehicles. But starting to, tags, insurance, all that shit.
That's about expensive, yeah.
Yeah, so...
thing I do, the classics, that's where I'm at. That's a hobby of mine. It's an art form. It's a passion. So my classics, I will never, man, if I could have 30 classics, I'll have 30 classics. But it does hit the pocket. That's, you gotta have deep pockets for that, for sure. But as far as an asset, them are assets.
Yeah, so you got assets.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about Cadillacs and stuff like that, man. I have one Cadillac that I have for 7-8 years, and I'm happy with that just for work. But my classics, man, that's where.
Yeah, that's an investment right there. That's something you. The shit I had, I was like, man, it's time for me to get rid of it. I don't ride my motorcycle, so let me go ahead and sell that because I barely get on it. Every time I ride it, I gotta go buy a battery because I let the battery sit out and wear out. Then I was
You gotta stay on top of the things, and yeah, for sure. I don't own any motorcycles. I never did own them. I never rode. I rode go-karts and mini bikes when I was young, like crazy. I love them things, right? But yeah, I never motorcycles. I wanted to get one, but I ended up getting lowrider, and I just got hooked on the lowrider scene. You know what I mean?
So yeah,
that's where my heart's at, man. Yeah. But they take a lot of maintenance, bro. They do.
Man.
And my cars are show cars, so they take a lot of maintenance.
Oh, yeah.
They can't go out in the rain. It's like an art form, man. When we was young, we used to build the model cars.
Yeah.
Same thing with these cars, man, Same thing. It's just a big, that was big boy toys,
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I kind of get rid of everything, and I just got my lack in my truck. I don't want to get rid of my truck, but that's about it.
You
got to
get a classic, bro.
Oh, man. I saw a picture of you hanging out with Ghost, too.
Ghost? I went to Dallas a while back. Maybe a couple of years back, I went out there to do a dub show with some of the Savages, which are good friends of mine. They wanted me to collab with them, and we went out there and we did our thing, man. Yeah, we went out there, and Ghost went to visit me out there. And
that's cool.
I think he came out here one time, and we were linking up. But Ghost, I don't know where Ghost is right now. I know he's doing his thing. But I'm glad to see him back painting, but I know he stopped painting for a while,
I think he was doing body painting. Him and his girl was doing body painting.
Yeah, he was doing a little bit of that, and he started painting dinosaurs, too, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he, kind of... fell off. I don't want to say fell off, but he started doing. He got away from the T-shirts and the automotive murals. But I see him back on it, so that's a good thing. I was a big fan of those. When I first started, Latino. He had the flavor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he had the YouTube going. I was looking at his videos. But then we became good friends too. At the same time,
Yeah, Ghost cool as hell, man. I like Ghost.
Good people right there.
Yeah.
Ghost graphics.
So, is there anything you want to bring up about anything? You want anybody to know anything about you?
I'm pretty much glad that, that we got the opportunity to talk. I know we're long time friends on the media. If anyone, had any questions or ever coming down to Cali and, you want to get booked, if you're an Airbrush artist,
hit me, man. You know, we get something set up, come make some money with us, enjoy the Cali scene. You too, Cali. You too, Ralph. You know, you ever want to come out here, give me a heads up. See if we got something going on that week. Go make some money, enjoy the Cali sun, you know.
Yeah.
Just get at me at Active Airbrush on Instagram. Active Airbrush, Instagram, ACTIVE Airbrush. Just send me a DM, man. And, you know, I'm all about networking, man. And so I'm trying to keep the airbrush alive, like they say.
Yeah, oh, man, yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. And like I said, there was a lot of people asking me I was like, well, okay, I got to get somebody on the podcast. Get Magoo. Ask Magoo. Uno. Ask Uno.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I know they have been hitting me up, and I said, I said, Cali's still around, Ralph. I don't know. I had like 3 or 4 Facebooks, you know what I mean? Like, I'm on and off these phones, you know how that goes. And I found you again, and we linked again. It's a pleasure, man, having you, you know, as a friend again. And I see you doing your thing, man, and huge props and all that. And, you know, I see you keeping the art alive, and, you know, I respect that, and I'm happy to see that, man.
Oh, same, man. Same. Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate your time, man. And as soon as I get ready to post it, I'll send you a link.
Thank you, brother. You have a good one, man. And props on everything.
You too. Same to you, bro.
Thanks for the opportunity, Ralph. You take care.
You too. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Air Graphic Podcast is a production of Air Graphics Airbrushing. It's written and hosted by me, fellow airbrusher Ralph Kelly. If you want to see any of my work, check out my website, www.airgraphics1.com, or my Facebook, Ralph Kelly. Thanks for listening.